columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Can we be there?
We are here.
Think of the time.
You don't have to think about it. It is right here. It is right now.
So strange. Said you never know.
How you doing, Brandon Stokely?
While I try my best.
Great. Awesome. Awesome.
You have a good weekend?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, great weekend. Great weekend.
It's a calming way.
I remember what I did.
So you don't
not
remember
a whole lot. Not
you
a whole
don't
lot.
Remember what you did?
Not a whole lot.
Sounds like a banger.
I know that. Yeah. nothing really stands out. And yesterday, just with the snow and so.
A lot of snow, man.
Yeah. It didn't stick to the ground like on Friday.
No, Friday was,
thank goodness,
a mess.
Thank goodness. And that sun on Saturday was nice, melting a lot of it. So that was nice. I didn't have to plow yesterday. I'm hoping this afternoon it's kind of like it was yesterday.
Sure.
Just like flurries and doesn't really stick to the ground.
It was a lot, man. Friday, that was a lot.
On Friday, yes.
It was a lot. It was a mess.
Friday was.
It was a mess.
How about you? What'd you get into?
Nothing. Nothing. Friday night was the peak of my weekend.
Me and you.
Me and you.
Me and you, baby.
In the storm, in our sweatsuit, ending up in the Del Frisco's cigar lounge.
Yeah, we were way underdressed. We weren't planning on it.
Way underdressed.
But, you know what? It was a spur of the moment type of thing.
Awesome.
I was supposed to have dinner plans. They got canceled because of the weather. And I said, hey, let's go.
I was so embarrassed. I'm like, we cannot go into Del Frisco's in our sweatsuit. You're like, we're going. It's going to be fine.
Yes, and it was fine.
And
we checked with them. It was fine. And they're great over there, obviously. So it was not a lot of people there at the time that we went. And I don't know. We spent 3-4 hours there.
That's pretty awesome.
My wife kept texting me, where are you? That was a highlight of my weekend also.
Yeah,
right there. Friday night was
pretty
that
much.
Was fun.
It was chill. But football was back this weekend.
It was.
Like the whole world today. Whole world, the sporting world here in America is talking about the XFL and what kind of impression it made over the weekend. And I gotta tell you, I was not expecting to come in here on a Monday with the type of rave reviews that the XFL is getting. I have not heard anyone kill this thing, and whether it's your exact cup of tea or not, that's beside the point. But in general, with a broad stroke, I think I can say with confidence that this is the best incarnation of a football league in America that is not NFL football and not college football. Okay. Like, it's not the AAF. It's not the first XFL. It's not close to the NFL, but it surpassed the other incarnations
right.
of these upstart football
yeah,
leagues.
Yeah, I think that's well said there. I watched a little bit off and on. I do like some of the new rules there. I like some of the changes. I like the kickoff. That's kind of cool.
That
it's kind of different.
Different. Really different.
I do like the 1 or 2 or 3 point conversions, maybe just because it's different. But I like the extra point from the NFL also.
You do?
And I like – because once they moved it back, these things aren't automatic anymore. And you see misses all the time on extra points. And if you want to go for two, you can go for two from whatever, the 3-yard line or whatever it is. So I don't know if I would want the NFL to change that. Now, the kickoff rule, maybe that's something because of safety rules, because of the safety concern there that you might look at changing.
And the touchback on the kickoff brings you to like the 35. So what
right.
does that do? It discourages you from taking touchbacks. It encourages you to take the football upfield and return it.
And then you also have to kick it past the 20. Like, so it has to be past the 20, the kickoff does.
Right.
And if it's not, you know, then that's a penalty. So I like that. I do like that. But the conversion is something different, so I enjoyed watching that, whether you go for 1, 2, or 3. Once again, the product was okay. You know, you just like, And right now I'm just kind of checked out of football.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I am. Like, I tuned in a little bit, and like, okay, then I tuned out and went and did some things. And
so I'm going to float this out there, too, and I thought about this a couple times this weekend. Because like you, and I didn't, I love football, okay? I love football so much. It's a huge part of my life. But I didn't realize that I was checked out until it came time to watch it. And I was just like, I'm kind of good here.
Right.
And I know what they were trying to do to parlay the football, the NFL football season, and continue to hook football fans to watch football. But I'm almost starting to think whether they should have waited a month and reintroduced football to football people.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know what is best for them. I just need a break. And then plus, when you don't know who's playing, you don't know these teams.
Right.
Seattle, who? Dallas, who? These teams, I don't know anything about these teams. I know maybe one player on a team.
There's nothing to know.
What's rivalries? What's So that's another thing that I'm just like, huh, who's playing? Whatever. I don't.
Right.
Cardale Jones. Okay. That's cool. I've watched a few play. All right.
Same.
It was, and then I'm checked out. And I think ultimately that's what most America is going to do. I really do. I think it's just going to be too much. People want a little bit of a break from football. You don't know these teams. You don't know these players. And it's just kind of one of those fads that will just slowly deteriorate. That's the way I view it. But it is entertaining. They did have some things that I did enjoy, but ultimately not enough to really say I'm going to sit here for 3 hours on a Saturday and it's a nice Saturday outside. No, sorry.
Agreed. But I will say to your comment that you just made, the games are shorter. The games are significantly shorter.
No, I mean, they were trying to get under 3 hours on their first ever game, and it was over 3 hours.
It was over, wasn't it?
It was over 3 hours.
Okay, so full disclosure, because I'm probably a good representative of most folks out there, I was coming and going. I was not sitting down. I had it on in the house. I wanted to watch some of the first quarter. It was that Cardale Jones game. It wasn't bad. I sent you a message. I said, this is, like, not bad football. Was it great football? No, but it wasn't, like, where I'm like, this is a joke. But it was just coming and going. I will say, much like everyone else has weighed in on this, I was impressed with how much access they give. I mean,
yeah, that was cool. I like that. I do like that.
To hear the coach talk to the quarterback.
Right. You saw Dylan Day. Remember old Dylan Day with the long hair dropping the F-bomb? And that was cool.
Right.
That was cool. Like, they were just trying to get in our heads and this and that, you know. So that was cool.
And they didn't catch it in time. They didn't catch that F-bomb.
See, I didn't hear it live.
Yeah, so they hit the dump button late, so that it slipped through.
Perfect.
But Dylan Day, former Bronco, we talked to him a couple years ago. He said he wants to be a professional wrestler after he's
done. That's right. Well, there you go. That's a good start for him right there.
Good start.
But they wanted to keep him under 3 hours, and I heard it on the radio where they said the first game actually went over 3 hours, which caused a little bit of a problem for them because the other game was on the other station, and
bleeding through.
Right, it was bleeding through to the start of that other game, and unlike NFL games where you can just people know and just turn the channel,
sure.
And just, but not with their games. They wanted to time it out better, so that's what they said was a little bit of a problem. It went a lot longer than what they thought it would go, and it bled over to their second game.
Speaking of football, it sounds like here on a Monday, we have some breaking NFL quarterback news. We'll pass it along to you next. All right, some news to pass along here. It looks as if something that we suspected or anticipated is coming to fruition. Phillip Rivers and the Chargers are officially parting ways.
It's official.
It's official. This is something that Jay Glazer reported on about 3 or 4 weeks ago. But now it is official. It's coming from the SportsCenter account and many others like it. I don't know who had it first. I apologize. But after 16 years, Phillip Rivers and the Los Angeles Chargers have mutually agreed to part ways. And I think this is actually coming from the Chargers themselves, is what I'm saying right now.
Tom Telesco had a comment or statement out there, I believe, the general manager. So the end of an era. I mean, they both end at the same time, Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers, the ones that were flip-flopped and traded for in that draft, that great quarterback draft class, and they're both coming to end at the same time. Now, Phillip Rivers is probably going to keep playing, and Eli's done, but their runs with their prospective teams have come to an end at the same exact time. Really crazy.
It really is.
But now we're going to be looking at another quarterback over there with the Los Angeles Chargers. And they're picking sixth in the draft. They're going to take a quarterback.
That's Tua territory.
They're probably going to be looking to move up to probably get in front of the Dolphins. So you look at some guys with some premium. You look at the Lions and the Redskins and the Giants, right where they're sitting in the draft ahead of the Dolphins and the Chargers as trade possibilities. So you'll see movement probably from both of those teams trying to move up and possibly another team trying to move up to get a, you know, whether it's a Herbert, Tua or whoever it is. So to me, it just makes the draft a little bit more interesting. And now you ask, where does Phillip Rivers end up? Indy? Is it? I wouldn't think Miami wants them. They're rebuilding, but what are the other names that come to mind? I mean, we think of Frank Wright because he was with the Chargers forever, and they're a win now team. You think of them as a possibility. Who else?
Gosh, landing spots for Phillip Rivers. I mean, it wouldn't be Miami, right? Because they're probably going to pick a quarterback.
And they're rebuilding.
And they're rebuilding. That makes sense.
Tampa Bay, possibly.
Tampa, maybe.
If they move on from Jameis.
Cincinnati's going to pick Burrow number one, more than likely. You mentioned the Colts. Jags are in too deep with Foles, right? And Minshew as well?
I think so. Yeah, guaranteed money there.
Right.
How about the Titans? That could be a landing spot there, depending on what happens with Ryan Tannehill in that situation. So there's a few teams out there that you look at and that could possibly be landing spots, but I can't recall a offseason where you have so many big names hitting free agency. Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady, and
Teddy
then
Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater, the other guy down there, that's a restricted free agent. The running quarterback, Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill. We don't know what Drew Brees is going to do.
But he's a free agent, right?
Right.
Yeah, he could retire. We don't know what's going to happen in with Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. We don't know what's going to happen with Jameis Winston in Tampa Bay. A lot of unknowns. Dak Prescott.
Yeah, Dak Prescott.
I mean, he's a free agent. And so will they franchise him? Will they get a long-term deal? Will they franchise him and try to trade him? I mean, speculation all over the place. I mean, Michael Irvin came out a few days ago and said, hey, somebody in the know with Dallas, and he did backtrack and say nobody in the organization. But they did say don't be surprised if they made a big run at Tom Brady.
I just saw that over the weekend as well.
So, I mean, this is a crazy offseason. We really don't see it like this ever when it comes to big-name quarterbacks, ever. This is like a basketball offseason
for
the NFL.
Yeah, Cam Newton's another one. We don't know where he's going to play.
That's a good one. Exactly. So, I mean, you look at this offseason, and you just look at the Broncos. It's going to be fun. It's going to be entertaining. But you look at the NFL as a whole.
It's a great point.
And that's what's great about the NBA is their offseasons are so crazy and so much fun and their trade deadlines. And this year, the NFL's offseason free agency, it could be wild.
I love it.
I do too.
I absolutely love it. Where do you think
he's going to end up? Like, if you had to guess, Phillip Rivers right now, where does he end up?
I'm glad you asked me that.
Oh, you are?
Tennessee
Titans. I'm glad I asked that too.
Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
I believe he ends up with the Tennessee Titans.
I say Colts.
Okay.
I just think it's a win now team. They got a really good roster.
Isn't the same true with Tennessee?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But without the connection to
Frank Wright. Frank Wright might be that connection for him. But certainly a place like Nashville and the team that they have would be a real possibility. The only thing there
Rivers
is...
Rivers could wear those ties that he wears.
That's right. The bolos.
Just fit right in.
Is it the bolos?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
But the thing about Tennessee is, you know, what are they going to move on from Tannehill, or do they want to really keep him there? I think in Indy, you know, they're done with Brissett. Like, that's not their plan moving forward. Now, he could be their backup, and you feel really good about him being the backup there. But as far as them wanting to go into next year with him as their starter, I don't think that's the case in Indy. In Tennessee, I could see the scenario where they feel good about Tannehill and what he was able to do there in moving forward with him.
I think you feel fine. I don't think you feel great. I think the sample size with Tannehill is so big now that you can kind of tell that he played over his head. I feel like he hit a patch of Ryan Fitzpatrick traction.
Yeah.
And just played really, really well. He's 31 years old. It's not like he's like 26. You want to, you know, I know he's still on the younger side. I guess guys are playing into their late 30s, early 40s. But if you want to win now and you're in that window and you think you're the Titans, you're just, you know, a game away from the Super Bowl, bringing a future potential Hall of Famer that still has something left in the tank? You believe that Rivers can win you a game? I don't think that Tannehill can win you a game.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, I'm with you on Tannehill. I'm not a huge Tannehill believer, but he came in and played well for him.
He did.
And he's a lot younger than Phillip Rivers. So you look at those aspects, and maybe they're just ready to, you know, they don't want to turn this thing over to a veteran guy that, and let's not be fooling ourselves here. Phillip Rivers didn't play very well last year.
He didn't
throw a lot of interceptions. So that's a risky proposition. It's not like they're getting a guy in his prime here, Phillip Rivers. 3 years ago, Phillip Rivers. They're getting a guy on the downside of his career, and now you're going to turn your back on a young guy that came in there and brought you to the AFC Championship game. So
you got a point.
But it's a tricky situation there for Tennessee.
Tannehill, I mean, you just referred him as a young guy. He is a young guy. There's no doubt. But why does it feel like Rivers is 12 years older than Tannehill? Rivers is 38, Tannehill's 31. It feels like Rivers is like 14 years older than Ryan Tannehill.
Well, look at him move.
Right.
I think that says it all. And he's played forever. You know, I mean, he has played for, and we've seen him here, you know, two times at least every single year. That's the thing. It's just like, oh.
He's just been a part of the Broncos' existence.
That's right. That's right. And now it's gone. Phillip Rivers won't be back with the Chargers. It's official. Not going to happen. Where does he end up? Another name to, you know, throw into the quarterback carousel this offseason. It's going to be fun.
It really is. Can't wait. We don't have to wait long.
Are you kind of sad that we're not into that like we've been in the last, you know, couple years?
No, I feel just.
I'm just kidding. I'm not either, man.
Holy cow. Over it. Over
like,
it.
Who is John going to get this offseason? Let's go get Phillip Rivers.
Right.
Let's go get, and then listen to his press conference and how he tries to sell it to us that, you know, this guy's in his prime. Like, come on, John, stop it. Just get us a young guy, please. We got that young guy now, though.
We got that young guy. All right. I want to put this in your ear before we go. When we talk about Pat Shurmur, who really is Pat Shurmur? Why did he get ran out of New York? What should we expect here? We're going to tap into someone who covered Pat Shurmur, close as anyone in the country. Paul Schwartz of the New York Daily News. He's been the Giants beat writer since 1994. This guy's on it, okay? We're going to talk to him at 1 o'clock. So make sure you are next to your radio or your phone or however you listen to us because we're going to take a dive into who Pat Shurmur is and why is he here. And speaking of Pat Shurmur, what does 3 points matter to Shurmur and this Broncos offense? 3 measly points. It turns out a whole heck of a lot, and I'll tell you exactly why next. What does 3 points matter? 3 points. That's it. 1, 2, 3. What does it matter to Pat Shurmur and the Broncos offense, Stoke? 3 measly points. Turns out, a whole heck of a lot. I was combing over some numbers yesterday, throwing together this segment, and I'm looking at last season, this Broncos offense, under Rich Scangarello, and the quarterbacks Joe Flacco, Brandon Allen, and Drew Locke. Okay, Broncos offense 2019. They average 17.6 points per game. That's not good. It ranked 28th in the National Football League. What do you need?
Throw into your tissue.
You can give them to me.
Throw it over there. You get it.
That bother you?
A little bit. That roll TP bother you? Yeah, I didn't know why it was over here because you keep that over there to blow your nose.
It's a community roll of toilet paper.
Yeah, well, I don't use it.
All right. Until you need it. Until you need it. I'll keep it here until you need it.
I won't use it.
Because the last thing
I won't use it.
Last thing I need is you openly sneezing out of pride because you don't want to ruin that toilet paper. I'm going to ride you for the next year because whenever anyone puts out a cough in front of you, you'll run to the other side of the room.
Wait, so if I'm openly sneezing, I'm going to cover, okay?
But sometimes you need a little cleanup duty after.
I got tissue and stuff in my pocket right now and in my backpack. And I'm not going for that community roll of toilet paper, bro. Come on.
I'm telling you right now,
disgusting.
There's a certain point in time that you're going to need that thing.
No, not true.
But I'll be there for you.
Will you?
And I'll hand it to you.
Okay. All right. Well, that's why I appreciate you, though. Thank you.
Last season under Rich Scangarello and quarterbacks Joe Flacco, Brandon Allen, and Drew Lock, the Broncos averaged 17.6 per game. Is that good or bad?
Not good.
It's not good. That's below not good. As if we would
super duper bad.
Super duper bad. Okay. This ranked 28th in the NFL. How many teams are there in that league again?
32.
Okay, so that's not good.
No.
The Broncos averaged 17.6 points per game. This ranked 28th in the National Football League. Last season, under Pat Shurmur and quarterbacks Daniel Jones and Eli Manning, the Giants averaged over 21 points per game. Okay? That's not lighting the world on fire. 21.3 points per game. But that's better than the Broncos' almost 18 points per game. It's 3 points better. Okay? The Giants, their offense ranked 18th in the National Football League. So they're below average, technically, too. But with a rookie quarterback, and that roster, it ain't great. They were bad. Bad football team, 4-12. But they averaged 3 points more than the Denver Broncos did. How big is the difference of 3 points per game in the NFL? Stoke, consider the 2019 Broncos. If they had just one more field goal in every game, just one more field goal, instead of a 16-14 gut punch loss to the Bears in week two, it's a win. Instead of a 26-24 head-shaking loss to the Jags in week four, it's a win. Instead of a 15-13 heartbreaker to the Colts in week eight, it's a win. Now, I know that football doesn't work like this. You don't slap a number at the end of your average and readjust your win total. But if the Broncos did add a field goal more to every game, instead of winning seven games, the Denver Broncos are 10-6. That's how bad this offense was a year ago. That's how bad. By adding just a field goal more, Denver Broncos are right there in the playoff mix. Instead of winning seven, they win 10.
Well, obviously, you know, games are different. Teams do things different at the end of the games depending on the score. But certainly, having games in the NFL are close. They're tight games, and they're won there at the end of the football game. And if you got three more points a game, yes, you are going to be a lot better football team. It doesn't seem like a lot, but it is in the NFL. It's a huge, huge deal. But certainly, it's hard to make the correlation of just throwing 3 points in there, like you said, and then all of a sudden say, oh, they would have been a 10-win team. Well, teams would have done things different at the end of the games. Maybe they don't settle for a field goal, but certainly it puts different pressure on teams. And certainly it doesn't seem like it's a big deal, but it really is. 3 points is huge in the NFL. Every game is close, and it comes down, a lot of them just, they come down to that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And if you add three to the Broncos and you can get that type of production this year, you should see that 7-win team go to 8, 9, 10 wins.
Do you think without taking a deep dive here, do you think the Broncos have better offensive pieces than the New York Giants, worse offensive pieces, or similar offensive pieces?
Well, you look at Saquon Barkley. I mean, he's a machine. He was injured off and on last year, had the high ankle deal, came back and was okay. Didn't play great last year. You look at Evan Ingram, I think he's a more polished tight end, but he was hurt the whole time. Their receivers were off and on hurt. So I think overall what I would say, it's very similar. Very similar.
Okay.
You know, you give them the edge at running back with Saquon, obviously. I think for us, Cortland Sutton has an edge on maybe their number one. I don't know who it is. Golden Tate. You got Sterling Shepard. But I think depth-wise, they probably have us beat there when you talk about receivers with Golden Tate, Shepard, and then
Darius Slayton,
a nice young rookie wide receiver last year. So you look at that top three, they probably have us beat right now. And I think Ingram's probably a little bit ahead of Noah Fant. So I think they're very similar offenses as far as talent is concerned.
Okay.
Where would you put it?
I'd put the Broncos, and I forgot to qualify this, comparing the 2019 unit compared to the Broncos 2019 unit. Evan Ingram missed half the season. Golden Tate missed a five game. Sterling Shepard missed six. Darius
Slayton
missed a
couple. If you're going to put all that in there, I mean, if you're going to throw all that in there,
Yep. And Saquon Barkley missed three games. And the reason why I'm doing it is because they still found a way to score more than 21 points a game.
Right.
With that beat up unit and a rookie quarterback. And this conversation brings me to this point. Should it be fair to expect 21 points a game or better from these 2020 Broncos to jump from 28th in the NFL in points per game to 18th in the NFL year over year? Should that be a realistic expectation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You look at the talent. You look at Drew Lock going into his second year, him having the whole offseason knowing he's the guy. Cortland Sutton has shown us he is the guy. Noah Fant hopefully makes a jump kind of like Cortland Sutton did and has a better, more productive year. I think offensive line will be more productive, and hopefully Juwan James stays healthy. Philip Lindsay is Philip Lindsay, and I think they add to that room. And then you look at the other pieces that they're going to be able to add offensively. They're going to get more speed on the outside at that number two wide receiver spot. I think they're going to get more help on the offensive line. So we got a lot of guys coming back offensively, and they're going to add some more nice pieces there. Should this group be, you know, a 21? Did you say 21 points a game?
Yeah, this past year, it was 21.3 points per game.
I mean, should they be at least a 21-point-a-game offense? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. They should be. They have the talent. These young guys are you know, going into years where they should be very productive. And then you look at what they're going to be able to add to this group and project with those young players and some of the veteran guys that they'll be able to put with this group. Certainly, yes, absolutely. This group should be much better next year. And a lot of it depends on Drew Lock, certainly, and how he adapts to Pat Shurmur on the offense. But Pat has shown that he can score points with probably a less talented group, certainly a much more injured group there with the Giants.
For sure, for sure.
So that has me optimistic.
I don't want to get too ahead of myself, and I'm not saying this just for the sake of saying it. Okay.
Steven, get ready. Get ready to hit record on this thing. Just get ready. I know what's coming. I know what's coming. You're going to say this thing is going to be a top five offense. Come on. Go ahead and say it, Zach.
This is
we're recording it.
Hour number one on a Monday, and we're already here.
I know you're about to make a bold prediction. I can already tell.
You want to know what? I've already made it.
Oh, perfect.
I've already made it.
Okay. Give it to us again, then.
The Broncos will average 24 points a game this next season.
24.
And me and you have a bet on it already.
Oh, we do?
Do you remember that?
No, I forgot. No.
It was the...
Where's your poster board?
You
Where's that poster board that you brought in? You stole it from your wife. Those kids didn't have the poster board that week, and you brought it in here, and it's disappeared. We were supposed to put all our wagers on there, and I think Richie stole it for all his little things
exactly.
that he puts up.
Exactly.
I mean, where's the poster board?
The Cherokee Parks that just walked in. Big old Kevin Kistner, full Duke outfit.
Oh, Kistner looking like Cherokee Parks. I like it. I like it. Yeah, baby. How about that W?
Oh my gosh.
Huh?
Are you kidding me? Man, I wish they kept the win probability in like the bottom corner of the screen.
They did have it. It's out there somewhere.
Is it?
Yeah, it's out there.
Gotta be 98 something.
Yeah. It was like 2%, 1%.
The fact that they overcame it twice.
Right.
I could not, I watched every piece of that game. I was so impressed by both teams. North Carolina stinks this year.
They're awful. But it's a rivalry game and they're playing at home.
Of course.
You knew it was going to be a game.
Of course.
And Duke's a young basketball team. It's going to be a battle.
And UNC had been injured. Their star player missed a bunch of games. But I'm telling you, I can't believe this sentence makes sense. North Carolina basketball this year has lost more games than they've won.
Yeah.
Think about that. With a non-conference schedule, you should be going into league play with 12, 14 wins in your pocket. Anyway, that game is game of the year. If you missed it, Duke UNC, holy moly.
And those guys at ESPN, I was watching the top 10, and they had like one of the plays was at number 2 and one was at number 4. They showed some pole vaulter making like a world record in pole vaulting over that game. I mean, like nobody pays attention to pole vaulting anyway. And you're going to put that at number one over some of the plays for the Duke game. I don't care if it's a world record. Did you see that finish? That was unbelievable to throw the ball we saw somebody do it the other night in the NBA. I think it was NBA. At the free throw line, knew he had to miss and threw it up there real quick. But Jones did it for Duke and was able to get it back.
Oh, my gosh.
And that guy for Duke, that white guy, was like, bro, hey, get out of the way, dude. Get out of it. He was going over there to reach for the ball, too. Right. And then he realized, oh, let me just get out of the way here. Thank goodness. And then to hit the shot and then to go into overtime and to come back the way that they did. If you look at it, it's just like you just don't come back from 5 or 6 points down with 12, 13 seconds left. And
instant classic.
Oh, my gosh.
That goes so right up there on the
mantle. You know I'm a Duke fan.
I know you are.
My son hates him. He's a Kansas fan. And so, you know, it was awesome, though. It was great.
And it was Wendell Moore Jr. at the buzzer. Wait, didn't they just have a Wendell Carter that got selected like 2 to the Bulls or something like that? Cornered on the Wendell market. But classic game. If you missed it, gosh, I feel bad for you. It'll be up for game of the year.
I mean, like the finish there, you can't put it in the category of the NC State Jimmy Vivano, slam dunk back. But that's what it was, the air ball on the shot, and he just kind of laid this one up there. And, I mean, what an instant classic. And for it to be Duke, North Carolina, and
classic. I don't know,
they were saying something about 100 years or something also.
Yeah, did you see that? It's an even split.
The score is the exact same. It's just crazy. It's crazy.
You can't make it up.
No.
But you can make an argument that it is the very best rivalry in all sports. It's right there in the heat of that conversation.
It was unbelievable.
Why we just went down a basketball rabbit hole. Well, shout out to the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
Getting it done on Saturday in Phoenix.
I thought they were going to trip up there in Phoenix. They started off slow, and I mean, they just
keep on rolling.
Man, they got it.
They are now
kudos.
37-16. Jamal Murray, have a day.
Yeah, he went off.
36, and he had scored 31 against Utah the game before when they got that big W.
He started fast, if I recall correctly, against the Sun. He had like 15 in the first. But yeah, it's just, they're fun to watch, man.
They are.
Road, home, tough teams they should beat. They bring it. You know, and you give Mike Malone a lot of credit and how he's the mindset of that basketball team. It's a little bit un-NBA-like.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, like, you see a lot of NBA teams, back-to-back days just kind of packing it in.
Oh, gotcha. Yes. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, very much so.
But they're trying
to win every night.
Right. Their mindset is, we don't care if it's tough. We don't care if we're getting into Milwaukee at 4 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and we're playing the best team in the NBA on the road. We don't care.
Right.
On a back-to-back, we're still going to come out and we're going to play hard. And that's what they do. And so it's impressive.
It is. This will be a fun week because it's the Spurs in town tonight. And then La La Land comes through.
Yeah.
So excited for this week of.
And that's a sneaky big game right before the All-Star break. The Lakers coming to town?
Sure. Sure.
Huge game. Are they still one? Nuggets? Where are the Nuggets at right now?
In the standings? Right now, the Nuggets are two, but they're right there with the Clippers. And when I say they are right there, they are the exact same record, exact same winning percentage, but the tiebreaker goes.
You know the Lakers are going to want to come in before the All-Star break and put their best foot forward.
Sure.
You want to head into the break feeling good about your team.
Yep.
And certainly on a win. So it's going to be, I mean, both teams are looking at it that way.
And speaking of that and the dynamic at play there, Nikola Jokic, LeBron James, adversaries on Wednesday night, teammates this weekend, as LeBron has picked the Joker to play on Team LeBron. If put this in your ear early, you're going to roll to victory this weekend. Take a look at the rosters. Not sure, Steven. Not sure what.
Which team's going to roll?
It was Giannis as the other captain, right?
Yeah.
I just don't know what it looks like.
He was doing?
Yeah, I don't know. So take that for what
bad
it's worth.
Bad general manager?
Bad GM.
Was he picking all guys from Greece or something? I mean, that's the cream of the cream. I mean, it's the best of the best. I mean, how can he screw it up?
Just take a look at the roster side by side. That's all.
All right. I missed the drafting. Did they do it on TV again?
I think it was on NBA TV.
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron's got Anthony Davis, James Harden, Kawhi, Luka, Chris Paul, Dame, Joker, Jason Tatum,
okay,
Westbrook.
Give me Giannis.
Joel Embiid, Pascal Siakam, ooh, Kemba Walker, Trae Young, Bam Adebayo, Brandon Ingram, Donovan Mitchell.
Take that L.
Probably so.
Yeah. You're right on that one.
Okay, gosh, where were we?
Speaking of basketball, you know, while we were enjoying ourselves on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
You know, phones were blowing up, and we were over there at Dell's, and, you know, having a nice cigar, just relaxing, and phones blowing up, and all of a sudden, you know, the game of the century that we've been talking about, you versus Columbus, and Columbus is calling you out about avoiding him and all these different things. They had Tim Connelly on, and next thing you know, it looks like this thing's going to get done.
It sounds like it. And I just want the record to show one thing. Okay.
What do you want the record to show?
Tyler has created this thing out of thin air. Out of thin air. I never challenged Tyler. Why would I go out of my way to challenge Tyler, 6'8", former NFL player who's my age and was a former basketball player? Why would I do that? I didn't do that. I'm taking the challenge, and I'm going to beat Tyler, and I'm going to make him regret ever opening his bearded face from the start. And we're going to film it, and there's going to be a moment somewhere in this thing where he's going to either come off his feet or be on the brunt end of a crossover. I might throw it between his legs.
Right.
Something like that.
Throw it off the backboard and just...
And we're just going to make it a gif.
Yes.
So whenever he tries to mouth off, I'm just going to send him a gif.
I love it.
Of whatever happening that's going to happen. I don't have a crystal ball, but I was in the gym this weekend, and he's in trouble.
I love it. And once we get this thing, the date set and everything, Vegas will have some lines coming out. And so I'm really looking forward to see what the line is on the game and what that's going to look like. And there'll be heavy action, I'm sure, in Vegas from this thing.
Is he the favorite or am I the favorite?
Well, I think,
because I am not sleeping on him. He is 6'8", professional athlete.
Right. Yeah. No. That's not our mindset on this show. We don't sleep on people. We just dominate them. Okay. And so you are the favorite heading into this thing.
I am.
You are the favorite. Okay. Yes. You are the favorite. Zach, he played offensive line. Okay. So let's just start there. All right. He's not the most athletic guy. All right. Now he is thinned up, but doesn't mean he can dribble a basketball. Okay. Doesn't mean he can shoot a layup. I mean, I could see a situation there where he's trying to shoot a layup and he gets a rebound over you or whatever, but he shoots three or four times and he misses all of them, right? Those types of situations for Tyler, the ball hits off his foot and goes out of bounds, you know, those types of things. That's the typical offensive lineman, I think that. And Tyler's an athletic offensive lineman, but he's still an offensive lineman, okay?
All right.
You got to remember that.
All right.
Okay?
He's got a basketball court, a half court at his house. He told me he's been out there every single day. So
okay.
for whatever that's worth, I'm not running from it. I'm going toward the challenge.
That's right. That's what we do.
So we'll see what happens.
I can't wait for this one. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be fun. That's going to be entertaining.
And we're going to be playing at the Nuggets practice facility.
Supposedly. Yeah. If not, we'll find some place to play it.
All right.
But yeah, Avs got a nice win last night. Watching the tail end of that one. They got a 3-2 victory over Minnesota. Watching the tail. So it was good. It was
The Avs have had it rolling. They went 4-1 on a road trip. And I believe, God, what was the stat? This is the first 4-1 road trip since 1990 something.
It just gets me excited. They're playing well. Nuggets are playing well. And just thinking about playoff time.
And you want to know who else is playing well? CU men's basketball.
Yeah.
CU men's basketball. Impressive. There's no doubt. I think they are, where are they at? Number 16 today.
Wow.
Number 16.
How about that? Great job.
That is cool. Holy moly. Number 16. Shout out to Tad Boyle and Chris Fuselier is texting me right now. Owner of the Blake Street Tavern, big CU supporter, CU a honk out there all the time on the road with the team.
CU what?
CU honk.
Honk.
It's like he's in it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he is in it.
How do you spell that?
H-O-N-K.
Okay, okay.
Like beep, beep.
Okay, like honk the horn.
Yeah, like a honk.
So it's got two different meanings. I've never heard it in that way.
Sometimes words,
really?
They mean more than one thing.
I do realize that, but I never heard honk as like, hey, that's a raging Cajun honk.
That's because you never met one.
I don't know if I agree with this. I don't know if you're using this thing right, if you just made this thing up. Is this like a Northeastern type of thing or something?
I don't know.
Where y'all just come up with these weird words
And there are different words that are used back home that aren't in my hometown that aren't used here and vice versa.
Is that where you first heard this thing?
And I'll tell you one that I've learned since moving out here and that I never heard my whole life basketball term. Wolf.
Wolf.
Like if someone's running from behind you.
I only heard of wolf in golf. That's a golf game that you can play wolf, but I've never heard.
So if someone's running from behind.
Yeah.
And trying to poke the basketball from out.
Sure.
So your teammate will yell wolf.
Wolf.
To let you know there's a player coming from behind. Never ever heard it.
Say like. I just say heads up, heads.
Yep.
I
mean, or behind. Just, yeah. That's what I just said. Behind.
Wolf.
Behind. Wolf. Ever heard of that?
Play basketball with?
No, I'm
like,
telling
you. Who are
you
playing with over here?
Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard that wolf? No, ever? No,
nobody has, except for a few guys you play with around here. They just made that thing up, Zach. Don't use that, okay? Just because those guys don't use it.
Oh my!
Don't bring
chime
wolf to
in
you
the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Have you ever heard someone say wolf during a basketball game?
Only if a wolf's coming on the court.
Thank you, Kevin.
Oh, Kisner, be quiet.
All right, who really is Pat Shurmur? And why didn't it work out in New York? What should we expect here? We'll tap into someone who spent every day covering him for the last 2 years to find out. You're not going to want to miss this. Paul Schwartz of the New York Daily News joins us next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.